You're listening to The Paul Higgins Show, the place for ambitious tech consultants scaling to live better. After 18 years as a global leader and having a successful tech consulting exit, I'm sharing what's working now to transform emerging tech consultants worldwide into trusted consultants that attract the best clients and deliver measurable results. When you're ready to level up your clarity, results, and freedom, begin with the free strategic profits blueprint available at paulhigginsmentoring.com/blueprint. You have a voice, but it is silent. It is buried in all of that delivery and all of that work you're doing. But here is some inspiration to get your voice, your story out into the world. Hello. This is Paul Higgins, and welcome to the Paul Higgins Show, episode number 534. In this podcast, we talk to Marty Zigman from Prolecto about his journey of creating his own voice, his own authentic voice, and being true to himself. Marty is an accomplished IT entrepreneur and is in the space of cloud-based ERP solutions for small to medium-sized businesses. As the founder and principal of Prolecto since 2003, Marty leads a system integration practice known for its expertise in NetSuite, focused on delivering operational excellence and strategic alignment. His approach revolves around three key principles: one, leveraging cloud computing, implementing fully integrated business applications, and adopting platforms for extensions and customizations, all within the NetSuite business. Marty is a proponent of lifelong learning, which you're going to find a lot about today, and is active in various communities and also maintains a strong commitment to his professional and personal growth. I'll hand you now over to Marty Zigman from Prolecto.com. Great to have you here, Marty.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks for having me.
Really enjoyed our conversations off air, but it's now a great time to get them on there and get everyone to hear more about you. But why don't we kick off with who are the clients that you love to work with, and more importantly, what are the problems you love to solve for them?
Okay, great. So, well, we are a NetSuite systems integrator, and we're highly focused on NetSuite. So we go where NetSuite is. And many times when I think about this, it's when I'm trying to help people understand, NetSuite's attractive for people who are trying to get off of QuickBooks or Xero, which tend to be the kind of the what we might call the small business accounting systems and so forth. And when these businesses are trying to scale, typically I say $25 million in annual revenue or up to about $2 billion in revenue. And that number can be a bit arbitrary because there's a whole way of scaling NetSuite that it's not necessarily fully understood on how to scale NetSuite and so forth. But these organizations are really trying to expand their operations. They're well beyond where they were when they were running the small business software. And now what they're really trying to do is get their practices lined up and so forth, and they're distributed. The ideal client for us is usually a COO or CFO of one of these companies. That implies they're larger. When the clients are smaller, you're often working with the business owner. Due to the way that we do implementations and we help people with their optimizations, the clients tend to be more, when they want planning, when they're really looking for the right talent. Yes. And so what we find is that there's a certain maturity in certain organizations that understand that the risks and the opportunities of doing ERP right. And when they're looking for that kind of talent, they seek us.
Yeah. And what sort of time frame are they normally thinking of how long it's going to take to actually implement this, the change?
Well, that's interesting that you say that, because that's one of the ways I actually make assessments about the clients when we're getting to know each other. When a client comes to us and they think that they're going to be live in a couple months, that's usually a risk factor to us.
Yes.
In addition, if they think it's going to be a year out, I often listen to them about what's driving them about a year out to try and understand where they're coming from. Usually I like to hear a year out, but that seems too far out.
Yes.
We try to create achievable milestones within a 3 to 5 month time horizon. And so what we're looking at is to try and understand how they see their business and how realistic they are. Then it's really a conversation of scope and the things that they're trying to achieve. And we very much are about trying to phase things in. It's a lot of software to swallow. Don't try not to do that in one sitting. And the whole idea is to, there's an art to figuring out how to phase these things in that are logical. And I also like to see that our clients are respectful of trying to develop their internal competency. So the first time you go live with these applications, what they thought was going to be their priorities for phase two may shift.
Yes.
Once they're on the platform, because they realize what's possible now and so forth. So we just let that unfold.
Yeah. I think that's really, really smart. And I think it's the right way to phase it. And I totally agree. If someone comes for a quick fix and look, different platforms, you know, NetSuite's a lot more sophisticated, for example, than say a Monday. But often yep. you'll get Monday and other platforms, it's like an immediate fix. And all they're doing is, you know, putting a Band-Aid on the sore, right? If you ultimately yeah. don't address the sore, well, then unfortunately, it's not going to work. So, yeah, totally agree around the phasing. And look, you know, one of the key things we're going to talk about is around how you started to, you know, brand yourself and then how that's led to getting more clients within the NetSuite space, which I've got to say, not very common. If I look, you know, I spend nearly every day looking across Salesforce, NetSuite, Zoho, Monday websites and profiles, and I'm amazed at how poorly, poor's the wrong word, it's just a missed opportunity, right? Where people just haven't got to that, right? I'm so deep in client work that I just haven't got to actually talking about, well, you know, who am I, who do I stand for, and who do I want to attract? So I know you've gone through that journey, and that's the one we're going to unpack today, but let's start with, you know, why did you decide to start to get above the operational part of your business and actually start to talk about, firstly, you and your brand?
Okay, well, so I think there's a lot of questions in what you just offered right there. I would say the first thing is I would ask myself, why did we go into the NetSuite space?
Yes.
And then that was really more of a soul searching. So this is really my second business time around. I built a business during the dot-com era that was specializing in e-commerce applications, billion-dollar kind of e-commerce platforms that did payment gateways that were connected up to banks like Bank of America and Wells Fargo and so forth. And I sold that business right at the end of the dot-com era to another company. And I realized during that lesson that, or during that sale, that when I started working for the other company that I sold the business to, I can see that really I enjoyed professional services, which is what the other company did. It did implementations. And prior to that, I was a CPA at Deloitte & Touche, which is now part of the Big Four. And I was part of a group that did these system selections and implementations. So I sort of grew up yes. all in that. So yes. After I sold the business, it became very clear to me that I love this subject matter, that I saw the possibility of doing strong accounting. And I always envisioned that if we could get everything in a database and the database was adaptable and powerful and I could build logic on top of it, that I could make it do some things. And right around the time of 2008 is when I started to really assess the marketplace. And I saw that NetSuite, which previously was NetLedger, yes. had a vision yes. around a single suite. And when I saw what they were up to, especially because it was cloud-based accounting, and most people going, cloud-based accounting, I would never put my accounting on the web. You got to be out of your mind. I might do sales and CRM, but I would never do the accounting on. But I saw what the platform, the vision, what the platform was, and I said, you know, I think I could get good at it. I think I could get very good at this. And so I made a bet. I said, I'm going to go into this space and really try and understand what the architecture of what this is and make it work. And at the time, just like anybody going into a new space, we needed to develop our skills, we needed to develop our accomplishments, and I needed to develop a reputation that I could be trusted in this domain. So, of course, in the very beginning of all of this, you need to work to develop clients, and I was blessed to have some referrals from previous identity and so forth, and I was able to produce some accomplishments. And the other thing that we did is we said, listen, we're going to adopt NetSuite internally in our own organization. So let's eat our own dog food. That way we're experimenting with it. We're using it daily. We can understand what that experience would be. And then at that time, we start to get into the branding side of it. It was like, well, who knows who we are? And there, the thought process was that, let me do what I think is important for anybody who's looking for services here is, I think what people are seeking is, can I trust these people? Do they have the competence? And do I believe that they would present the kind of leadership that we need in our organization to get onto these platforms. There, I thought, well, let me just be myself in the sense that I will begin to write articles on the blog. And there, I just started to write in my own voice, I started to write articles about all the things I was observing about the platform, because I knew that there was customers in the environment that were on the platform, but they may not know how to get the real value. So, I mean, because it's complex software, they may not know necessarily how to do a bunch of things. So I knew if I talked about maybe even esoteric things that people get themselves into situations and showed what the concerns are, how we solve those concerns. And if I spoke just truthfully, as clear as I could about that, and tried not to do anything more, but just try to reveal that we have the narratives, we have the practices, we have the know-how, we're in the game, that would be valuable. Now the truth of the matter is I organized that less around my business brand and more around me, because that was the next thing that I saw.
Yes.
Is that many times we have relationships with brands that are companies.
Yes.
That's great. But when I think about the kind of thing that I'd want to do, if I wanted to find an attorney or a doctor, I don't think I care about the brand. I care about the individual when I'm going to do something risky.
Yes.
So I thought, let me be the face to what we're doing and let me speak that. And I'm obligated to write this myself. I had to speak in my voice. I did that. There was Marty Zigman. My face would be prominent. And then there would be the brand kind of behind the scenes, because I wanted people to know it's just not one guy trying to get these things going, that I was also, I had people working for us and so forth, but that I was the front person and that I'm competent.
Yes.
So then that way, when we're having a conversation and I'm suggesting how we would go about an implementation, I'll help lead you there. And I'm naturally going to bring a team who's going to help us do that. It probably took about 100 articles. And I was pretty committed to write those articles, and because I'm writing them all. I had to devote a lot of time and I needed to really build a discipline to do that. But after about writing about 100 articles, is about where it came to, all of a sudden, we started to just get little inquiries, just little inquiries every so, you know, people would say that's when the phone rang. In our world, that's when the emails would come in.
Yes.
Requesting care. And you could say that simple formula of trying not to do anything but be real, trying not to game the SEO, because I was playing a long-term game and I was patient, I knew that this could work. And thus, I just kept staying after it. We're now, I don't know, we're close to maybe 750 articles now. Goes all the way back. And the other thing I even did in the marketing is I tried to reveal everything that people often hide.
Yes.
What's the date of the article? See it in the URL. All the things, like, I'm trying not to hide. I want to reveal, because what we wanted to demonstrate and what I wanted to demonstrate is that we could be trusted.
Yes.
That we could be trusted. And that formula has worked. It's worked because we've earned it,
yeah,
not because we bought it. And I'm sure there's others that could go out there and, you know, accelerate that. That wasn't our culture. Every person that has come to our firm and that I've nurtured, I've really nurtured them, groomed them. We think of ourselves as a practice. And as a practice, that means like a cabinet maker, there'd be the individual who was the craftsman who built the beautiful cabinetry and then brings on the apprentices. And that's been our model, is to grow as a practice and build up people's competence. And I need to hold them one at a time, be in the culture. We have extremely low turnover, and we've just been blessed in this through this mechanism. And the good news is this, is that if anything, I learned that there's a place where you can be really truthful. You don't have to be clever. You could find your voice, do what you think really clients, in quest of doing the service to take care of clients, be real about that, and it has paid dividends. Now, of course, you know, you probably have some questions around that, but
Definitely. The
brand became more Marty Zigman, right? And so then things change over time, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and we'll get to that that transition in a moment. But now, the first question I've got is, you know, how natural was writing a blog article writing for you? You know, was it something that you did before you started this journey, or was it hard to begin with?
This gets a little bit into like maybe the trouble of my nature and part of my own personal and professional development. First of all, I mean, I'm competent at a lot of different things. And so the thing was, is of course it makes sense for me to go and try and get help to do things. So I tried actually working with somebody to be my writer. And so I would come up with topics and this or that, and I would help them try and understand. And as they tried to write these articles, I realized, well, no. I was spending too much time just helping to correct the articles because I cared about the correctness. I cared. Yes. It was meant to be like, this is meant to be helpful, right? It wasn't meant to just sell. It was meant to be helpful. And over time, I realized I'll just write the article. I'm going to devote the time to that. So that took me time to, you could say, almost find my voice. And I found my voice through the action of just continuing to do that, just continuing to write. And as I wrote more, I started to see a pattern in things. And I actually think that the way I write is so consistent now that readers, when they come back and read the blog, they have a certain expectation around how I'll deliver sort of an offer for a solution to things.
Yes.
And I think they welcome that in the sense that I'm trusted to be consistent. That makes sense. And then, of course, when we think about scaling, how can one man do all this writing? Well, we get into a different set of concerns for which we can probably talk about, but I've been able to take it this far.
Yeah, great. So how much time are you devoting a week to writing?
The pattern I'm at now, I'm trying to write once a week, and I'm devoting in the neighborhood of 4 to 8 hours a week in writing these articles. I'm crafting it all. I'm writing the articles. Many times I'm taking videos and I'm editing the videos and doing things to bring it all together. And, you know, it's just because I'm skillful, I just do it. And I could get more help there. But ultimately, I devote 4 to 8 hours. And I'm got a shout out to my family who's been just helpful to understand that, you know, Marty needs to put his attention to take care of these things, right? And they let me be because I'm also running a practice. So I'm doing the writing the articles, but I'm also running a practice. So it's demanding, but I'm disciplined.
Yeah. As far as the themes, the topics, you know, if you look, let's, you know, fast forward to today, how are you deciding what you're writing?
You might find this hard to believe. I probably have close to 150 topics. Yes. I think of so many things that I could write about. And I throw them into a queue. And then what I do is when it's time to write the article, I look and I go, what is inspiring me this week?
Yes.
What do I think I get enthusiastic about? And I write about that. Truth be told, some of my articles, I know, okay, this one's going to be demanding. I really got to think this one through in order to get the message out. It's going to take more time. I actually have a few that I call kind of quickies. That I know are like I can get them out because what I'm committed to doing is maintaining a pulse as I do it. I feel like I feel obligated to get them out weekly, probably because maybe the algorithms in the world that are cataloging on the search engines somehow see my pattern. And I feel like if I don't now feed it through regularity, maybe they'll hold me differently. So I don't really know. I've never been educated on this. I'm speculating. I have some articles that I call quickies in the sense that I might be traveling, I might have other commitments, but I do need to get it out. So I have a few in there and so forth, but ton of inspiration. And then the deeper inspiration is we're doing so many good things in our practice. Yes. That I'm now interviewing all of our team members with all the various things we're doing. And it's just a deluge of solutions that we're doing. And in essence, I'm effectively reporting on all the good things that we're doing for our clients.
Yeah, brilliant. And you mentioned video in that. Like, as far as, you know, if you look at blogs, what they were back in 2008 versus, you know, now with YouTube and video, you know, it's changed a lot and people's modes of gaining content are a lot more diverse. How have you sort of looked at change, you know, like, doing YouTube videos versus, say, doing written content? You know, what's been your perspective on that?
Well, my consistent narrative has been we need the written word.
Yes.
We need supporting images around the written word. And everything is leading to me to believe that video is very important in the world that we're going in. I, I enjoy long form podcasting. Not sure that that's that relevant here, but I believe video is very important. So in some respects, our videos are how-to videos.
Yes.
You know, I want them to be solution-oriented, and thus, well, we do so many innovations and various sorts of things, so I can actually demonstrate things that, which is sort of like, I never thought NetSuite could do that kind of thing. And so you need some video to show that. I would say, hey, if anything, I probably could get the production value higher if I would devote more, like if I would build out an entire team, probably makes sense for me to do that, to get that crafted. If anything, I've just tried to create a consistency in the way that I open, the way I close them, the various ways that I take them through. And again, I think if anything, people who are reading my articles just sort of notice, again, the authenticity, yes, that they're not over the top, that these are real practitioners. And that is what I'm hoping to have people hear, is that there's a certain realness to everything that we're doing.
Brilliant. And we sort of talked, as you said, you know, it was about Marty, and you had the team sort of, yes, behind you. Sort of how and if you sort of made a transition, or have you thought about making a transition from Marty, yeah, being centered to, you know, more about Prolecto?
Yeah, so very much as we develop more and more accomplishments and more capacity that we needed to build through our people as we grew the practice, at a point in our transition, we needed to develop a management team. And as I was thinking about, okay, where does this firm need to go? Ultimately, what I'm doing is I'm helping the most ambitious in our practice learn to develop their voice, their craft, their skills. I'm teaching them how to do that. A number of them are also starting to write their own article. I'm working on helping them develop their identity. The key is to be first, develop competency. Second, develop your ability to have people be willing to follow you. That includes your clients and staff. Deepen your expertise in a certain subject matter and offer it up to the world. Give it away. Don't be afraid to hide anything. Give it away. And so I'm helping them learn how to do that. And thus, that is part of when we start to get into conversations like succession planning, that's where it's going. I'm teaching them, what's the adage about teach a man how to fish, right? And they'll feed themselves. It's that. Yes. And so we're in a lot of narratives around that. And fortunately, I'm able to demonstrate it worked, and they accept my leadership, and I'm in gratitude.
You know, this might be a hard question to answer, but I'm going to ask it. If Marty's starting today in, you know, 2024, we're recording this, not 2008, do you think would you apply the same strategy today as what you did in 2008?
I think so. I don't think I would do much different, except that there's certainly maybe more platforms that people are on, that content needs to be crafted. I like content marketing because in essence, you know, it's my voice and so forth. I do wonder what the AI is going to do to all of these things. I've got some ideas around it. I'm starting to play with it. It's a bit of a companion for me now, a bit to just help me in the editor. I still make sure I'm writing and so forth. But it does seem like, look, this is kind of old fashioned to try and not be clever, to try and think long, to build success one client at a time, to take care of our staff one person at a time, to just know that we're doing this long term and where we want to be, and we're going to be in this game and be known for that. I can't help but feel that, no, that's been a very good strategy. It was a good bet to go to NetSuite. You know, they may not have succeeded, and then we might have had to choose a different platform. I'm sure I could have adapted, but it was a good bet. So it's, you know, it all worked out.
Yeah, I think, you know, that's certainly, I think it's clearer now than what it used to be, but unfortunately we picked, my business partner and I picked the wrong horse in the right race or a racetrack. Yeah, I think it's NetSuite has been one of the great horses to pick, and you've done really well on that. But I think if you're just starting out, if you're listening to Marty and thinking, you know, I think this is a good strategy for me to implement, I think also really making sure that you are picking the right platform, because unfortunately, some of the platforms change once they go from private to public, which I'm sure you've heard. Yes. And also, you know, when they go from different owners, the form changes as well.
Yes.
And not all of that's in your control, but you've definitely got to factor that in as to which platforms you...
Indeed, of course. And first, sincerely, I was passionate about their vision. I saw their implementation. They had time to stabilize. They were almost 10 years into it by the time we devoted our attention to it. So they worked on a lot of things in stabilizing. In addition, of course, we're always looking out about 5 years, and we're trying to make assessments around what are strategic risks to our business models. We clearly know we're hitched up to NetSuite and so forth. The largest opportunity has been the Oracle organization to get behind it. And Oracle's being Oracle, as they are around it. But the good news is that they've got a jewel. I think they understand they have a jewel. They're taking care of it. They're continuing to make investments in it and so forth. And the rest is sort of the marketplace for ERP. Again, I think the whole idea of picking the right platform does make sense. And that's where we business owners, we need to make good assessments around our speculations around where we're going to invest. And I think this was a whole intersection around previous accomplishments of strength that I could say, look, my previous work and the things I've done and what I'm known for, if I could get good known for that in this platform with all the previous things I've done, my suspicion is we could really make this work.
Yeah, and you talked about AI as a companion, and I think for most of us at the moment, that's the case. I like the saying that AI won't replace doctors, but doctors using AI will replace doctors,
absolutely,
right? So I think, you know, it's all a companion. But what about AI and the platform itself? So when you're writing content at the moment, I know some people, it's a bit when we went through digital transformation back in the 2000s, sort of, it became everything, and then it became back into, well, it's just a part of everyday business, right? It wasn't a standalone topic. But at the moment, it's like some people have said AI, and they've doubled down on that as a standalone topic versus having it integrated. You know, for you and your writing and your topics, how do you handle the AI component at the moment?
Well, you ask kind of two things. One would be, you know, how is it working in the platform? And then I think I heard you say something about outside the platform.
I suppose it's more from your writing at the moment. You know, how do you handle it? You know, how much is AI part of your writing, i.e. the subject versus it's just going to be part of everything that NetSuite does?
Yeah. Okay. Well, as far as my writing, and which is really more around my own content development, I write the way I've always written. One of the things that's been a little more joyful has been that when I write, I'm less little worried about grammar and spelling. Okay. I almost can write in a notepad, you know, just not worried about it, but I'm just getting my thoughts out. And because I know my voice now, I pretty much understand each paragraph kind of area because I'm on a journey when I do that. The good news has been now is my practice is effectively, I take paragraph by paragraph. And I've already set up ChatGPT to basically say, point it to my blog. I basically say, this is my voice.
Yes.
When you respond to me, listen to my voice to understand me. So then I might say something to in a paragraph, go, rewrite this for clarity. And then I offer my draft, and then I look at it and I go, that actually reflects a little bit better, a little bit thing here, this or that. But I take it back in and I nuance it a little bit more. But I basically go, yep, it is definitely helping me write better, but I still make sure it's me because I don't want anything that seems not me, if that makes sense. Yes. So that has been great. And I also have to just shout out to Ellie in our group, who's been kind of our editor behind the scenes. He just has been there for 8-9 years. He just reads every one of my articles. He's been de facto kind of been one of my editors, you could say, and he's not finding nearly as many problems with my articles, and it's really great just because I have that companion, which is real people along the way. And again, he's part of our staff. He knows what we're writing about. He may say, oh, Marty, that doesn't make sense what you just said, right? Because he's in the platform too, and that's helpful. Now, did you have a different question in there about inside the NetSuite platform itself?
Correct.
Yeah. So I think NetSuite's doing the right thing in the sense that they're putting their toe in the water. They're going to I notice all the big players are touting a lot of things because it's the hype. And there are some things that are going on in the NetSuite platform around, say, the description of a product. Based on all the attributes, it could probably write you a sample description of what this product is because, hey, it's reading all the attributes of the product. That's almost like a low-cost way of like that. That's helpful. Like, see what it says, right? Yes. See what it says. We are starting a project to speculate differently. We are trying to hold so many client concerns at the same time We have regular practices where we meet to assess where are we with all of our clients, how are we taking care of them. But could the AI really read the database of all the things that we're doing and help us make assessments about where we are with each client? That's where we're going. That's where we're going innovatively ways, because what we want a companion to notice perhaps a client has a concern here and we're being too slow to respond.
Yes.
Or this client has been quiet. We do not necessarily need to put some attention over here. We want a companion to read what we're doing and help us make assessments. We feel there's no way that the Oracle database would be able to do that because it's our business model of the way that we've done our work. We could train the AI to read the database and come back and give us thinking. We're excited about exploring that.
Right. And as you're going through that journey, are you publicly talking about that journey that you're going through?
Well, now this is the first time it's public here, but I spoke on that. I don't speak about anything that we're doing speculative until we've accomplished something.
Yes.
So anything that I write on the article, I need to demonstrate, I need to show the concern and where we are and what we've done. So this is something that we're still speculating on. But we're building our internal capacities, our internal skills to be able to do that, because it's another discipline to understand how to work with those AIs and all the things that we're trying to do.
You know, this is a wonderful conversation. Just reminding you that we're talking to Marty Zeigman from Prolecto.com, and all the links and everything will be in the show notes. But what we're going to do, Marty, is just quickly go to our sponsors, and then what we'll do is return back and get some rapid fire questions from you. Running a tech consulting business can feel like a solo journey, but what if you didn't have to navigate it alone? Introducing the Tech Collective, your go-to resource for tackling those burning questions and unlocking your potential. Join a dynamic collective of experienced tech consultants ready to share insights, strategies, and support to help you today. Grappling with sales, client, or team challenges, the Tech Collective has your back. Join us today at paulhigginsmentoring.com/TC. We'll help you work smarter, not harder, to achieve your business goals. Just visit paulhigginsmentoring.com/TC. When I say rapid fire questions, it's I'm going to ask you the questions, you give the answers. So are you ready for that?
Yes, okay.
Yeah, great. So the first one is, now, what are some of the daily habits other than what you've talked about, which is, you know, writing? What are some of the daily habits that help you scale Prolecto?
Well, I would say we care a lot about not dropping the ball. So we need to be very orderly. And then we just consistently are looking at what we're doing and meeting all the time. So we're very much a practice. We feel there's no escaping that. That's what we have to do. We have to stay orderly and not drop the ball.
Great. And I suppose the next question was, you know, how do you learn more about scaling Prolecto? So reading is obviously one of them. Anything else that you, resources that you turn to help you?
Well, we believe that we're actually doing a craft. So since we're doing a craft, we turn this into a practice. So we keep reflecting on what we're doing. And scaling means how can we do more with less energy? So part of a practice is to continually refine it. That's why we call ourselves a practice. So we mean it by continuing to polish what we're doing.
Right. And if I could grant you one wish for Prolecto, what would that be?
Well, I would say it's really continue with the good fortune and then allow me to be able to give this to the leadership in my organization so it becomes theirs.
Brilliant. And the last one is, what do you know now? So even if we go back to 2008, what do you know now that you wish you had have known earlier?
Yeah, this would be very much, I did not design the management practices as early as I could have. It would be when we got to 10 people, that was the magic number for me. And when I look back, I could have designed better management practices then versus the number of people that we got to sooner versus
Brilliant.
Later.
Brilliant. Well, as I said, we've been listening to Marty Zeigman, Prolecto.com. And in the outro, I'll talk about where you can get access to all the great blogs that he does and also all of the other content that he posts on LinkedIn from time to time as well. But Marty, I really appreciate you coming on, and I really like the theme of the craft, right? This is a craft that you're doing. You chose a vocation in a way, which is NetSuite. Right. I think you picked the right vocation, and I really like the way that you're building this. And thanks for coming and sharing the way that you do it today here on the podcast.
Thank you, Paul. This was a nice experience. Appreciate being with you.
Great. Thanks, Marty. Bye. What a wonderful interview with Marty. I really love how he spoke about the craft of the business, but also the craft of him creating his own voices brand and just how regular he is in getting that out. And he does it for the right reasons rather than for the shortcomings or the shortcuts of some of the SEO and tactics that are out there. And also love how he's looking at AI around his practice management as well, which I haven't heard too many people talk about. I think that's a brilliant way of looking at it. You can reach out to Marty on LinkedIn. Please let him know that you heard him on the Paul Higgins show and thank him for really the time and effort that he put into giving you the background to how he's created content marketing, his voice and his own identity. Please also share it with peers. They will love you for it. They'll think you're a rock star. And please check out our solo shows as well. I'll see you next time on the Paul Higgins show. Time for action. Subscribe, comment, and let me know what you like best about this episode. Plus, get the Strategic Profits Blueprint at paulhigginsmentoring.com/blueprint.